welcome to the New Author Podcast with your hosts, Jerry Evanoff and Lindsay Evanoff. The Super Siblings will take you through their days as they write, publish, and market their books. They'll talk about their successes, their mistakes, and everything in between. And occasionally, they'll veer off into tangents that will most likely be discussion of which episode of The Office is their favorite. Seriously, they talk about The Office a lot. So sit back, relax, and prepare to be educated and entertained, but mostly entertained.
Hello and welcome. See, look at that. I'm already fumbling through my words. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the New Author Podcast. This is episode 81. I'm going to call it 81 version 2 because we've already we recorded about 20 minutes of this the first time through, and out of nowhere, my computer just decided, hey, I'm going to do a Windows update, and it just shut. It literally, it didn't even like warn me that it was going to shut off. Usually you get that thing that says this is going to shut off in 30 seconds or reschedule. It just went dead.
Like if you know what's funny, my Apple products, my Mac never does that.
Right.
Yeah. Just throwing that out there.
So, okay. So of all the, if we list the pluses and minuses between Windows and Mac, you finally got one on the list.
Oh, burn. No, Mac is better.
So today is June 21st. And again, I feel weird because I've already made this joke in the first podcast that we recorded.
Well, you didn't have to say that.
So now when I make it, I want to be honest. Now when I make this joke the second time, is it going to be as funny? Because you laughed the first time.
I'm going to laugh the second time,
All right. So today is June 21st. I accidentally did not change the TH to an ST on the podcast, on the outline here. So it's June 21st, 2020. Today is Father's Day. Second joke coming. And I have a father, and you're married to a father.
And I have a father.
And you have a father, just like myself. We have the same father, actually. And so I'm just going to wish Happy Father's Day to everybody who's a father, unlike me and you, and say, hey, thanks for listening.
You're like a pseudo father, though. You take very good care of Max. And attest, you do. Listen, I can attest, now that you've spent a week at my house with your dog, I can attest to the fact that if you had children, you would be the most overprotective father in the history of fathers.
Wow.
Because you're overprotective with your dog.
Well, I just didn't want him to like get uncomfortable with the other dogs until he felt okay about it.
But it's okay if kids and dogs get a little uncomfortable. That's how they learn to deal with situations.
It's probably why I don't know how to deal with half the situations I'm put into. So let's see, with me as always, I don't want to say I said the first time because it probably gets annoying. This is around your 1 year anniversary of being on the podcast. You had the date, right?
Yeah. I think it was, June. I'm going to go back on my calendar though. I think it was like around June 16th.
That was your first time.
Yes, it was June 16th because I have it on my calendar, podcast with an exclamation point. So okay. June 16th.
All right. So happy anniversary.
Hey, thanks.
I think in the podcasting biz, you say happy podcast-iversary. I think that's a word. I don't know.
Okay.
If it's not, I'm going to start using it. Statistically speaking, I am at 64,942 words. I'm up 1,915 words from last week. And I had some fun this week with my book, and that's why I should be up more, but I deleted some stuff and split some things. In terms of finished chapters, I am now through 35 of 53 chapters. Now, if you're if you listen to this podcast very closely, avid listener, thank you, of this podcast each week, you'll know that, I've had 51 chapters in this book for the last 3 or 4 months, ever since I replotted it. And yesterday I took a chapter that I'd been working on for the last couple of days. I split it into 3 chapters. I moved some of those pieces around so it flows really well with the timing of what's going on in the book. And I'm really happy with how it's come out. So now I'm finished with 35 of 53 chapters. I have 18 chapters left to go. 11 of those 18 are retellings of the things that happened in book one from a different point of view character. So the dialogue will stay exactly the same. I can't change dialogue. The action will, for the most part, stay exactly the same. The only thing I have to change in there is how my current POV character sees it as she's dealing with the characters in the situation she's put into. In terms of mailer light, I'm up 38 from last week. I now have 641 people, so I'm kind of on my way to 700, which is my new goal, I guess, as I go. As I said last week, I need to stress that the majority of these people on my mailing list are not my readers. They did not read book one. They downloaded my novella, Origins, 100 pages. It's a prequel. I'm going to turn it into a trilogy. And they downloaded that along with a bunch of other books and all the promos I've been doing the last 6 months. So the goal here is to turn them into my readers. And I have a couple different ways to do that. Number one is obviously they're on my list. I can keep emailing them and trying to get them to read book one, especially if they're in KU because it's essentially free to them. Number two, hopefully, and I've been disappointed about the fact that I was going to give away book two, but that was a Mark Dawson self-publishing 101 tip. So I said from the beginning I would do that. I didn't expect to have 700 email people by the time I got to book two, but that's where I'm at. And I'm hoping book two I made book two an entry point into the series. So the hope is when I give away book two, whoever downloads it, maybe they become my reader. And there's probably some way that I can track who download. So yeah, there will be a way I can track who downloads book two. I may put them into a separate list in MailerLite to try to keep track of them separately, to try to continue to turn them into the super reader. I think it's David Goggin. There's a couple of bloggers out there that talk about the super reader, you know, the people that will buy or download anything you put out there. And that's the hope. They say if you can get 1,000 of those, oh no, it's what's his name? Nick. Oh no, Nick. I can't remember his name. I'm going to find his name before the end of this podcast. Nick Stevenson. Nick Stevenson talks about your first 1,000 readers. Your first 1,000 readers, your super readers. These are the people that if you put a book out and you sell the book to 1,000 people, you make money. And if you're putting 3 books out a year, 4 books out a year, you're doing pretty well. So, and then in terms of golf, I don't really want to talk about how I did last week. Just know that I did golf and it did not go well. And in recognition of Father's Day, I'm just gonna go ahead and let that go because that makes sense as a thing to do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Can you explain how that makes sense?
You know what? It's according to the outline, it's your turn to talk. So I'm not going to, I don't really need to get into the explanation of why I don't want to talk about the score that I wrote on the card this week.
You know, the 1 week I was excited to hear about your golf scores, you're just going to pass it off like it didn't happen.
Yeah. I don't believe that's true. And two, maybe it'll keep the people hanging and they'll come back.
I have been on the edge of my seat waiting for that part of the podcast.
Really? Well, no, I didn't think so. Good.
I don't really care.
Yeah. you and probably most of the people that are listening.
Okay. So in book one, Reluctant Heart, I am at 86,788 words. I'm actually down 88 words, but that's okay. I finished draft 7 and really I finished draft 8 as well. I'll talk about that a little bit later. In the prequel, which we talked about this a little bit before too. I don't think that it's a novella. You know, I've Googled, you know, what's a novella, what's a short story, what's a novel. And like you had mentioned, every website is going to tell you something a little bit different, but it seemed like the vast majority of them, if they were between 3,000 and 10,000 words, they were considered a novelette. So I'm calling this a novelette. I think that's an adorable word. And it's an adorable prequel, so it works. 9,541 words. I sent it to 2 betas. These 2 betas are really, really, really great friends of mine. They're kind of my military sisters. I hesitated at first sending it to them because they are such good friends, but I feel like they are in it for my well-being. They're the kind of friends who, if something sucks, they're not going to hesitate to tell me that it sucks, which I love. That's due back from them on Thursday. So it's only 9,500 words. I'm sure it won't be a problem. But I have to get it ready because a week from today, I send it to the editor. She has blocked out Monday and Tuesday, although she thinks that she'll be able to get it done on Monday. It's really short. It's just a novelette. But I'm planning on sending that to my subscribers on July 6th. And then I like to say I'm going to wait 2 weeks before I put it on a book funnel promo, but it'll probably end up being like 3 or 4 days because I'm not very patient.
You can actually sign up. Like you could probably go there now. And if you know the date, they post their promos out a couple months. So you could go out there now and you could say, hey, what's going to be available, you know, July 15th. And if that's kind of when you're looking, you can look under the Railman section and you could actually, I guess, I don't know if you could sign up for it because you don't have a, you could create a landing page.
Download.
Yeah. You could create a landing page where you put the cover. You wouldn't upload the book yet. So yeah, I guess I'm not sure if you could sign up for one without a book. You know, you put your pre-order up on Amazon without an actual manuscript.
Yeah.
But can you,
you said it.
I know I did. you said novelette. So I said manuscript. So I don't know if you could do that. You could get the landing page ready, but yeah, maybe you have to wait until you actually have a something up there before you can join a promo, but you could start looking. I mean, they're out there July 1st.
Yeah, I'll look, but yeah. I'm not going to create a landing page or anything because chances are I would mess it up. I do not have your computer abilities. So,
well, if I can just say when we go to 20 Books in November,
yeah,
there are many, many more people there that do not have my computer abilities than do, and they all manage to do it too. And you're intelligent. I think you'll figure it out pretty quick.
Yeah, probably, but I'm not going to. I have 4 new subscribers, so that brings me up to 129 active and 2 unconfirmed. I cannot wait to get that book promo up so that my subscriber list hopefully will start building and building. I would love to have 200 before September 1st when the book is published. My betas, the 4 betas that I have for book 1, they have chapters 16 through 20, and that feedback is due today. Friday, I sent them 21 through 25. There's only 30 chapters, so this coming Friday, I'm going to send them the last 5. They're doing really well. They're giving me great feedback. A couple of them every week after they finish the Google form, they email me to let me know that they finished it and they beg me for the next batch of chapters because they are so excited to find out what's going to happen. So that's a good feeling. You know, I love my story. And you know, like Anna has seen quite a bit of the story and she really enjoys it. So just to have other people say that, hey, this is a great book. It's a good feeling really, because I don't have that much confidence, I guess, that, you know, maybe I like it, but everybody else thinks it sucks. I currently have 42 pre-orders. And there's about 24 people who have told me that they're waiting for the paperback. I really, really, really wish that Amazon would allow us to do pre-orders for paperbacks. I guess I don't want people to lose steam, you know, between now and September 1st. So if I can get 100 sales on day 1, including those 42 pre-orders, that would be really great. I would be happy with that.
So we had talked earlier about what you were going to put in the back of your novelette in terms of how many words. I had mentioned that it would be a good idea to put something in the back of your novelette so that people will read the novelette. They like the characters. You want them to start reading book 1 and then write somewhere you want to cut it off at a cliffhanger. And you want to have a pre-order, or not a pre-order. Well, technically, yeah, a pre-order button right there. When the book is ready, you want to change that in your novel. You have to change that in your novelette to an order. But or just, you know, how do you order the book or whatever. So I had mentioned trying to get, I think you could put up to 10% of the words from your book 1 because you'll be in Kindle Unlimited. You could put 10% of your words in there. You have about 85,000 words, so about 8,500 of them. So what are your thoughts on what you're going to put in the back of that book? Do you know yet?
Well, sort of. I think I'm going to go ahead and do the prologue and chapter 1 and chapter 2. That's about 7,200 words. So the prequel basically spans a couple of years. It's only 9,400 words, but it spans a couple of years. And it's kind of like when my two main characters meet and how the relationship progresses. So like Casey is married to Todd and Charlie is married to Jen and they all start hanging out together. And then Charlie starts to feel feelings for Casey, He knows that it's not appropriate because she is happily married and her husband is his good friend. By this time, Charlie's divorced. And then when you get into the book, now, if you read my blurb, it's not going to be a big shocker, but if you haven't read the blurb, then in the prologue, they're at Casey's husband's funeral. And in chapter one, it's kind of him, like, you know, he's still thinking about Casey because he still has feelings for her and he's dating this girl and they break up. And then chapter two is Casey's point of view, where Charlie actually calls her and they plan to get together for brunch. So I think if I do those three chapters, that would be a good cliffhanger, because the next chapter is when Charlie and Casey see each other for the first time after, you know, 3 years. So I think putting those three chapters in there would be a good idea. And that's probably what I'll end up doing. So, okay. Yeah. Anyway, as far as news goes, my book trailer is finished. I posted it on social media and I've got some great feedback, you know, from my Facebook people. I need to put it on my website, but I think sometime, probably not today, this week, maybe next weekend, I'm going to have to share my screen with you or something so you can show me how to get this onto the website.
So you probably should create, I don't know if you have this or not, but you should create a YouTube account. And because what you'll do is you'll upload the video to YouTube and then you'll just take the video link and you'll put it, there's a slot that Caro put in the template for our websites where you can just paste the link and it just shows all it is. It's really simple. You upload it to YouTube, you take the link from YouTube and you paste it in the box. There's a video. If you go to your books page, there's actually a box that I think says video trailer. You just paste it there and it's there. I mean, I didn't do anything special.
You make it sound so easy, but you would be surprised.
Okay.
I did three Facebook ads. I had one of them done last week when we talked on the podcast. That one, it's a link. It was a link to my pre-order, and it went to friends of my friends. And it lasted 5 days. It was $25. It reached 1,722 people. There were 1,220 through plays and 8 clicks. The second one that I created after the podcast, it was the same exact ad, but it went out to an audience of my choosing. And I chose females only, 18 to 65. They had different interests, different marital status, things like that. And I thought it was interesting. With these ads, I didn't get any of the disgusting messages that I got last time. But last time, those came from men. And this time I only targeted women. So that was kind of interesting. The second ad, it reached 2,568 people. There were 1,423 through plays and 11 clicks. And that one ended as well. The third ad went to the same audience of my choosing. And it was the actual book trailer. And it had a link to my website. That one goes until tomorrow evening, and so far it has reached 2,162. There have been 1,158 through plays and 6 clicks. So I'm pretty excited about that. And a couple of the last couple sales that I've made, actually, I haven't had anybody email me or text me, "Hey, I bought your book." So I would like to think that it was due to the book trailer.
And the reason that they would email you or text you is why?
Well, like, you know, when your friends buy your book or family buys your book or something, they'll say, "Hey, I bought your book." And then you're like, "Yay, thank you." And
but you also have that contest running, right?
Yeah, I have the pre-order contest.
So you're getting emails from strangers who bought your book.
I've received a few, not as many as from people that I know.
Okay. But yeah. In this case, because they went to it from the Facebook ad, you know, there was nowhere in there that said email this. If you bought the book, so you're thinking it came from Facebook. Okay.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I guess that was a mistake on my side. I should have maybe put that in the comments or something, but it's fine. I'm making sales, and a friend of mine, her whole family, she has a huge family and they're all in New Jersey. And she texted me and said, "My family wants to know if you will do a book signing in New Jersey." And I said, "Well, I'm going to try to do one in Ohio in mid to late September. And, you know, from our little town to her little town is only 6 hours." So I said, "Have somebody put something together at a coffee shop or something."
How far is she from Atlantic City?
I have no idea.
Okay, because we can make it an Atlantic City thing. I'm in.
Yeah, I would have to map that. My other friend, Melissa, she said that I'm definitely going to need a roadie. I called her my assistant and tasked her with making sure I have enough pens.
Oh, good. I thought you were talking about me as your roadie for a minute.
No.
Okay, good. Good.
No. No. Anyway, so that'd be really cool if they want to set something up. I want to do a book signing here in Georgia, which I have quite the following. I think that'll go well. In our little town, which would probably just be, you know, friends and family. And then if she can set something up in New Jersey.
The library actually has, the library has a pretty good Facebook showing or audience, whatever, here.
Yeah.
In Newton Falls. So I think they've mentioned me a couple times. I'd be willing to bet that if there was something they would do, if they wanted to actually do that, they'd probably put it out there and get people to come by that we didn't know.
Yeah, I need to contact somebody there. I'll probably do that next month and start setting that up. I just mapped it from Dana's little town to Atlantic City. It is 58 minutes.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah. So I guess I'm going to have two roadies then.
Oh, I'm just along to gamble. I probably won't even do a book signing. I just want to gamble. I just want
somebody. You're not going to go to the book signing?
I just want someone to split a hotel with me so I can gamble.
Oh, gosh. What a great brother you are. Anyway, so those are my Facebook ads. That's my book trailer. That's all the news I have. What do you have?
So I have a bunch of stuff. The first thing that I was going to mention was I'm actually making sales. And, you know, in the past, when I'm not doing any marketing, I would get like one or two sales a month, maybe get a couple of page reads here and there. And I think it was probably just people I knew or somebody stumbled across something and they decided to download it and read a little bit of it. But last Friday, let's see, what is today? Sunday. So 9 days ago, one of the Facebook ads I created was actually advertising the book for sale. I used BookBrush to create a pretty cool little movie. But I also did something I didn't expect that I was going to do. And it was Saturday. It was at your house. And it was in the afternoon. I remember I was sitting, I think, in your office. And I just started, you and I had talked about Publisher Rocket earlier in the week because you were putting your book on pre-order. And I had opened it and we found some keywords for you. And I just started thinking about it on that Saturday. So I actually created Amazon ads and made them live. The thing about Amazon ads, though, is you have to remember to do a suggested bid price. And I had forgotten to do that. So I put 40 cents in there as my default. But then what it does is if you don't change some of the keywords, it will, what I had forgotten to do was put the 40 cents in there. So what it does is when you put your keywords in, I had like 750 keywords in one of my ads, it will actually assume or suggest a price based on the keyword itself. How strong is the keyword? So time travel fiction is a pretty strong keyword. And it went in there as like $2.25 instead of the 40 cents that I wanted. Now that meant that it actually showed it to some people, probably on the first page of the search results or on a lot of people's product pages. It got clicks, it made sales. Unfortunately, it wasn't selling at the click rate that I wanted it to. So for example, if I make a $2.25 click and then I make a sale, I make 50 cents, which is pretty cool, except for the fact that there were a bunch of clicks that were clicked that didn't make sales. So of the 30 clicks that are on that campaign, I made 4 sales, one every 7.5. It's pretty good. I think 1 in 8 is kind of where you want to get to. And if you can get lower than that, you're doing well. But if you're paying 90 cents a click, like I am right now on that one, that's you're losing money. So I spent $27 on that ad and I've made $16. So I'm still at a loss, but it is kind of cool to make 4 sales. So I went in, I remember going in. So Saturday I did it in the afternoon and then I realized it a couple hours later. So we were at Anna's house and I had my laptop. I remember on her counter. And I was sitting there just changing bids. I didn't get all of them. And it wasn't until a couple days ago that I realized I didn't change all of them in all the ads I created. So I sat there for about an hour, a couple nights ago, changing all of them to 40 cents. Since then, the number of clicks is about the same. The cost per click is obviously a lot lower, but the sales have gone down. So I started to wonder, like, is there a correlation between how much the ad, the click itself actually costs versus the likeliness that you're actually going to get a sale? So I'm looking at my clicks right now. I have 41 total clicks. I have 4 sales between the 4 ads. I went and so I started to wonder that. So I went earlier this week and I created an ad. It has 3 keywords: time travel, fiction. Well, it has 1 keyword, time travel fiction, but it has like the broad and the phrase and the exact selected. So if somebody types time travel fiction or time fiction or whatever, it's supposed to also find them. I put the click at $1. I wanted to see what would happen if I put $1 out there. It literally has 0 impressions right now. So it's been like 3 or 4 days, which means nobody has typed time travel fiction and seen that ad. I'm not really sure why, because that's a pretty good keyword. I got to think that if somebody's interested in time travel, they're going to type time travel or time travel fiction.
Yeah.
So I'm going to play with that today and see if I can get it at $1 per click, see if I can get some impressions, and just see if the order rate is higher on those clicks. Because I'm really wondering if there's some kind of correlation between how much you pay for the click and the likelihood that that person that clicks it is to order. I know they say your blurb and your cover, I know those are big, and that makes sense to me, because you judge a book by its cover, you read the first couple sentences of the blurb, and at some point you may stop, and the hope is to get them all the way down to that order button.
Yeah.
But I'm starting to wonder if like the people, the higher the click rate, the more likely the people that see it are to be the ones that are the most interested in buying it. So I'm going to play around with that for a couple days and just see if I can come up with something, and maybe I won't be able to. I have no idea. So anyway, I have 4 Amazon ads running for a week and a half to 2 weeks, about a week and a half now, that are a bunch of keywords I got from Dave Chesson's Publisher Rocket. I have 1 that is literally just 1 keyword, $1 per click with no impressions yet. And then I created a 6th one, and this one is a, what's it called when you, what type of ad is it? I didn't put keywords in. It's Amazon chooses when they show it. It has 57 impressions and 0 clicks. And so right now I'm really just playing with the numbers and looking at all this. I'm pretty excited about this. The fact that I'm getting sales is really cool. Over the last week and a half or so, I've sold, I think, 10 books, and I have enough page reads that another 2 have been sold. At least 4 of them are from Amazon ads. 2 of them are people that I graduated. It's funny. I graduated high school from them, but they ordered it after seeing your pre-order.
Yeah.
And then you thanking them and then going, oh, I'm going to go buy your brothers too.
Yeah.
So both
yeah.
of them bought it, which is pretty cool. And then the other ones I assume are from the Facebook ads. The Facebook ad I did using the book brush thing. So that's where my sales are. Before I get into all the ad stuff and the numbers and stuff. I was thinking a couple days ago, I want you to tell me if you think this is a dumb idea. I'm pretty sure it is, but I'm gonna, and this isn't something I would do for a couple of years, but mm-hmm. I have this section of book 1 where one of my characters named Zach, he doesn't travel with anybody in the past. He's stuck in this one time. And the next time my main characters see him, he's the bad guy.
Oh, okay.
So what I was going to do is I was going to write a 100-page novella at some point on how he got from where they left him to where they saw him as the bad guy, just to explain what happened and throw it out there as a novella, sell mm-hmm. it for 99 cents, include it as part of a box set down the road. You know, that whole thing that I'm doing with a lot of these novellas.
Yeah.
Or as you like to call them, novelettes.
Novelette.
And, but when I was looking through, Publisher Rocket software about 6-8 months ago, I was looking at the categories that are underserved but sell a lot of books. And one of them was like time travel, Old West. Mm. Another one of them was private detective. So I wrote those down. And what I'm wondering, here's what I'm thinking. I write the 100-page novelette. Oh God, now I'm saying novelette and not novella. Like I plan to, which I'm going to do. That's going to be part of the whole series that I'm writing. But maybe after I'm done with this series, I have the idea of, I love Agatha Christie and I love Hercule yeah. Poirot and I love whodunits, cozy mystery style whodunits. I like Miss Marple and I like Murder, She Wrote, all those type of shows and books and stuff. And I thought, what if I wrote a series based on this character, Zach, of when they left him, he somehow ends up in the Old West or in the 20s and 30s as a private detective. And then I write X amount of books, 1, 2, 3, 4 of them, however many there are. And then I end it with him going back to the future. Oh, I don't, back to the future, not like the movie Back to the Future. Back into his character's future, ending up where he did in the first book. So it's almost like a create your own adventure where, all right, you can read the novelette if you want, the novella if you want. and you get the continuation of what happened to him. But maybe you like cozy mysteries and you can read those four or five or one or two or however many mysteries I write that end up in him with him ending up at the same place he ends up with in book one when they meet.
I think it's a great idea.
So because they would kind of be standalones, they'd be their own series, but they would also allow the reader who likes those mysteries to read book one and book two and book three and then go to those mysteries and read this little arc of him as a private detective that I can advertise as him as a private detective. Maybe I put him in the Old West, where that's another underserved category, Old West. And just make him a private detective. He's solving mysteries on the Gold Rush Trail. I have no idea. And and then it leads into back into book one. So it's almost like you can read the novella and see his arc, or you can read the mysteries and see his arc. But either way, you know, you at least you get to finish his arc. So that's
I think that's a great idea. And I love reading the Old West parts of your book were my favorite.
Yeah. And yeah, that's why I made that the novella I wrote, the Origins book. That's why I made it a trilogy. And I'm going to make books two and three take place in the Old West so that I can then advertise them as Old West books. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So that was an idea that just popped into my head literally yesterday while I was writing. All right. Thanks. Okay. So let's get to the promos. Like I said, I'm at 641 email people on my email list. And my hope now is to get to 700 before book two comes out. So I have a book funnel promo that finished up on June 15th. There were 158 books in it. I had 360 clicks with 170 claims. Another book funnel promo started earlier this week. I guess it would have started on my birthday Sunday and it runs until, it started on June 15th and it goes until July 14th. There's 197 books in this one. It's the biggest one by far that I've been a part of. So far I have 100 clicks and 45 claims, which is nice. The story origin one that I'm in runs until June 30th and it has been, I don't want to call it a failure because I have gotten clicks and email addresses, but there's 37 authors in it, 48 books. I've only gotten 20 new email addresses. Actually, I think it's 22 now because I did an upload of the CSV this morning and it upped me by two. It's not as well as I'd hoped, but again, there aren't that many books in it. And maybe the authors that are in it don't have big mailing lists. I mean, who knows what the reason is? I'm not going to call it a failure. It's just less than I'd hoped for. So, in terms of, let's see, I sent an email out. I'm going to skip something right here. I sent an email out earlier this week, and this is the one where I had an email blast that went out Monday, and then on Thursday, it resent the campaign to everybody who didn't open the first one. So I'm opening my mail light right now because I didn't write this into the list. Okay, so 605 people got the email on Monday. I had a 21% open rate and a 5.5% click rate. Those are both actually significantly lower than what I've gotten in the past. Mm-hmm. On Thursday, 477 people got the second version of it. The only thing I really changed was I wrote in the Monday one, hey, if you're reading this today, I'm in a car all day. And in the one on Thursday, it basically said, here's a recap of my vacation. That's kind of the difference. Other than that, it showed the link to Book Funnel and Story Origin. It had my cover reveal was in there. And then it had a picture of Max I think I put him in the back of the car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, in the back seat. Yep.
Yeah. So, was that what it was? It was in the back seat. It wasn't.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. Oh no, he's on your chair. That's right. The picture I put in there is him on your chair, taking over the fact that you got up one day.
Oh, that's right. I think you texted me the picture of him in the back seat because I asked if he was asking about me.
Right. So I had a 10% open rate on that one. Actually, it's a 9.2% open rate, which means total between everybody that it went to, I had about a 30% open rate, which is pretty standard for what I've gotten, but I only had a 6.81% click rate, which is a little bit lower than what, you know, my click rate was usually between 12 and 18. And I'm wondering, you know, if you look at my subject line for the last five emails, my subject lines are like this. Last chance for freebies. The freebies continue. Can't stop with the freebies. I've reactivated the freebies. Freebies, freebies, get your freebies here. This is the first one where I didn't put the word freebies in the subject line. And the open rate was about the same, but the click rate was lower. So I wonder if people open it and they don't read the whole thing. Because I didn't put the link to the freebies at the top. It was the second item in the email.
Yeah.
I don't know. So what I'm going to do, my next email is going to go out probably, let's see, this one on the 15th. So probably on the 28th, which is next weekend, I'll do another one to keep it going every 2 weeks. I'll do another one where I advertise the book funnel and the story origin. I'll have two more days on it so I can advertise those two. I'll put them at the top. And then I want to see if my click rate is any different. Now, in this case, both of these links have already been clicked by people, but if you look, where is my, it's in the outline, my numbers here. I usually have a pretty good, so with BookFunnel, what happens is they send you a specific link so that they can see, the people who created it can see how many people you brought to the promo specifically. So everybody has their own specific link. My last four, and I'll start from the very first one I did in November, I had 55 shares, meaning 55 people clicked my link and that got them to the BookFunnel promo. I didn't have much of an email list at the time. In the second one I did 161 shares. That's a pretty big number for me. That's my biggest number of the four. My third one, only 71 clicks, which is kind of low. But in the one I just finished up last week, I had 132 shares. As of now, I only have 35 shares. So I sent that email out on Monday and Thursday. I had 30% open rate, but only 35 people clicked, unique people clicked to that promo. I'm not sure why that number is so low. The only thing I can think of is, A, like I said, I didn't put the freebies in the title. Maybe people didn't know that it would be in there. They didn't open it for that reason. I don't know. Also, though, I do this every 2 weeks. I send out these freebie links. Maybe people have downloaded so many books from these the last couple weeks that they're just not ready to download more, so they didn't click it. I'm not sure what the answer is here, but I'm going to do another one on the 28th. I'll move the links to the top and I'll put freebies back in the title and we'll see if the click rate is any different.
Yeah.
All right. In terms of my Facebook author page, I'm up to 137 likes, which is one more than there was, but I'm up, I think, 3 followers. Again, I don't know the difference between a like and a follow. I mean, if you like the page, I assume you see the content, but maybe you don't, maybe you're just liking the page, but if you follow the page, maybe that's when you see the content. I'm not sure about that yet.
Yeah. I don't know about that either.
And I've been too lazy to even look. So
let's call it busy. You've been too busy to look.
Yeah, we'll go with that. Speaking of Facebook, I've done some Facebook ads the last couple of weeks. I'm experimenting with some things and I have some numbers here that I can spit out. 2 weeks ago, I did a Facebook ad that ran for 7 days. And it was my book cover with the kind of a one sentence blurb about what the book cover said. So let me pull that up. It's going to be in this Excel. And again, I had this stuff open the first time, but when we crashed and I had to restart my computer, I didn't open it back up. So here it is. Okay. So on that one, I had, this is a Facebook ad. Now I did the same thing as you. I had a 18 to 65 plus. I went men and women both. I used, let's see, Back to the Future, Lost, time travel fiction and dystopian fiction were the interests that I targeted. And I actually had, this one had the most of anything of the three that I've done so far. So it had 3,800 impressions. I'm not sure what a reach is, 3,078 reach. Maybe that means people saw it. I'm not really sure how they gauge that. Let's see. I have a click. Oh, 21 cents per click or per result. Whatever that is. I had 133 unique link clicks. I had 164 clicks total. This was not the book brush ad. This was just the cover. 133 link clicks is pretty good. And I'm getting signups from that Facebook ad. I know that I am because of where I'm sending them. I don't know if I have that in front of me, so I'll have to get to that next week. So then last week I created two ads. I created and both of them were using videos that I created with book brush. So I had 2,400 impressions. So this was Origins again. This is my novella again. Instead of the cover this time, though, I went with the book brush. I paid 40 cents per click. I had 2,400 impressions and 2,000 reach, whatever this. So the reach was actually a higher percentage, the reach percentage, reach versus impressions versus the cover itself. But I had a lot less impressions. I'm not sure why. I thought everything was the same. Paid 40 cents per click. Let's see. And I had 68 unique link clicks instead of 133. So 68 of the 2,400 impressions is a smaller percentage, I believe, than 133 of 38. I can actually do that really fast on a calculator. So let me see. So 68. So this is using book brush. 68 divided by 2,468. That is 2.7% click rate for the book brush, whereas the cover, the book cover itself, got 38.24, 3.4%. So the cover actually got a higher percentage than the book brush ad, which is, I'm surprised at that. So I'm going to have to experiment more on that. I will say that I had 43% of the people watched the video, 816 of them watched for at least 3 seconds, and the average play time was 4 seconds. Now, all that is a looping video. BookBrush just creates a looping video. So if you watched it for 3 seconds, you pretty much saw the entire video. It loops for 30 seconds. And then I also did an ad for my book where I sent them to Amazon to try to get them to buy it or download it. I know I got a few sales from this. 3,400 impressions. This is the second highest of the three that I'm looking at right now. Let's see. Cost per click was almost 60 cents per click. And if I look at the click rate on that, this one's going to be the lowest click rate. So I'm pretty sure in the Origins ones, the ones that are sending them to my novella, which is free, it says in there, get your free book. So I'm going to guess that's why it had the more clicks. But in terms of the percentage, this one got 1.5% click-through. So it's a pretty low click-through. It's the lowest of the three. But again, in this one, it was advertising a book to buy. It wasn't saying, get your free book. So I'm going to guess that's why the click rate was lower. I don't know what a good click rate is. It's the first time I've ever done this. But I had 53 clicks. I had a couple sales. And 22% of the people watched that. And the average video play time there was 5 seconds. So what I'm doing this week is I'm rerunning the same Origins, my novella book brush ad. I want to see how the stats compare doing it again versus when I did it 2 weeks ago. I'm really just comparing numbers of all these different ways of doing it, just see what the best one is. So this one's going to run until the end of the month. I've been doing them 7 days spurts. We're going to run this one until the end of the month, which is Tuesday, June 30th. So that's 9 days from now. So not next week, but the week after that. I may have some numbers next week of what's going on so far. But 2 weeks from now, when we do a podcast, I'll have the final numbers for that, and we'll figure out what we're going to do next for the month of July. So that's where we are with my the one thing that I wanted to mention to you, and it's something I want to look into for July 1st, because you're doing that book brush ad and you have the people that actually played the videos, I'm pretty sure you can retarget the people who played the videos. So I'm still looking at Mark Dawson's ads for his Facebook ads course, but in there he does talk about creating a custom audience, or no, he calls it a lookalike audience, where you can go in and you can actually target people. So what I want to do is I want to create an audience of people who have played the video for 3 seconds or longer, and who have also, I want to use my Facebook pixel. So people that have gone to my website or clicked through to anything where I use my pixel, I want to create an audience, a custom audience of just those people, and then do an ad targeted at them and see what happens. I'm wondering if the click rate will be a lot higher because they've already seen it once and now they're seeing it a second time. So that's something that I'm going to do.
Yeah, learn that so you can teach me how.
I will. The person that's helping with ads, I know is a podcast listener. So just keep that in mind, and we will talk about that next time we talk. So, all right. So let's see. I have a quick financial update before I get to my last item of the news. I really have been talking a long time here.
You have been.
So in terms of my financial update, I don't have anything exciting other than the fact that I got the title to my car yesterday, which is really exciting. And I updated my bills spreadsheet, my Excel spreadsheet that you taught me how to create many years ago. But you made a comment when you saw it when I was down there. You said it looks different from yours. So I must I must have taken what you did and changed it around a little bit to fit what I have. But I have my budget out, and I'm sure you do. I have my budget out for the next 6 months. I actually go year to year. So I have my budget out through 2020. Sometime in June or July, I'll probably create the 2021 budget. I usually do that, in the middle of the summer, I'll have my budget for all of next year already finished. And I just change it as I go.
Yeah.
But I do have my budget now planned out for the rest of the year. And there's a chance, now my guess is it's slim to none, but there's a chance I could pay this credit card off by the end of December based on the money that I have coming in. And I do have 3 trips to Vegas. So it really depends on how much money I spend in Vegas versus how much I win. I'm splitting my hotel with my buddy Sean when I go in August. So that's going to be, instead of $500 bill, that'll be $250. I'm splitting the hotel with you when we go in November. So that'll cut that down also. Mm-hmm. So does that mean I put that money in the credit card or I gamble more? Well, it probably means I gamble more. So The one thing is when I'm going in August, it's with all my friends and it's a makeup for the trip we didn't do in March when we go to the Final Four. There's a lot of sports betting on that trip and there's not a lot of sports right now. So I don't know how much, I mean, I'm going to end up betting on what hockey playoffs and whether or not the baseball players and owners quit acting like children and actually come back and play the game. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen in August. That trip is August 5th, August 9th. I have to get the book to the editor by August 10th. So that trip could turn into me just reading over the book many times, just sitting at a table, annoying my friends. Cause I'm just staring at my laptop I have no idea what's going to happen there. So, there's a chance I could get it paid off. When I get to my addicted to, I'll talk about why the credit card's going to be a little bit longer to pay off than it would have been if I hadn't spent $1,000 yesterday. So the last bit of news I have is this whole pre-order nonsense that you're doing. And by nonsense, I mean, I'm jealous and I wish I would have done it on my first book.
Okay.
Cause you're selling your book right now at a pre-order for $3.99.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I released my book, I released it at 99 cents and I made a lot of sales, but I was making 35 cents per copy and you're making, I'm assuming 272 cause that's what I'm making currently.
I thought it was 229, but
I checked. Mine was 272.
Maybe because mine is shorter. Does the length of the book make a difference?
I don't think it does when you sell it for $3.99. I mean, 70% of that is 70% of that. So I'm not sure. I think there might be a delivery fee. So if I remember looking correctly, I think I saw 272 and then a 10 cent delivery fee. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
But I don't know.
The point is I sold a bunch of them at 99 cents and I made 35 cents per copy. You're selling a bunch of them at $3.99 and that was really good. So what I'm thinking now is I might do a pre-order. So book's going to my editor on August 10th. I might set, what's your first sale date?
September 1st. I did a 12-week pre-order.
That's funny because that's the day that I was looking at to release mine. So I won't do that. So maybe I'll do like a September 16th pre-order. Although it would be kind of fun to do a pre-order at the same, I mean, a release at the same time, right? Would you be okay with that? Yeah. So maybe I'll do a September 1st pre-order. I can put like the unedited first chapter or first couple chapters in the back of my Kindle book, my book one, as a way to get people to pre-order and I can start advertising. I have the cover now. There's a really good chance, I'm going to say greater than 50% chance that I do a pre-order for book two, also available September 1st.
Yeah.
It's a Tuesday, and I know I like releasing on Tuesdays. There's a chance I do that. So stay tuned. We'll see how that goes. Also $3.99. I know when my book two comes out, I'm also going to lower book one to 99 cents and advertise the hell out of it with all those like bargain booksy and all those
kind of videos
for some period of time, whether it's a week or a month, I don't know yet, but I'm definitely going to do that because the goal now is to get people to buy book two. Because if they read book one and book two, there's a really, really good chance they're going to read book three. So
yeah,
that is all I have for the news. Do you have anything else? I talked for a long time. Or do you want me to go into last week?
Go ahead and go into last week. I don't have anything else as far as news goes. Mine's much shorter cause I'm not doing all the promos that you're doing.
Okay. So last week I did not get to do any writing on Monday. Like I normally do, because I was in a car for a good 13 hours. And that was quite the trip home. I left your house at like 4:45 a.m. It was funny. I had to stop for gas. And I before I got on the exit, there's a gas station right before you turn off onto the interstate that leads to 75. There's a gas station. And the lights were off, but the pumps were on. And I didn't want to get on the highway and start going 70, 75 miles an hour and then have to pull off again. And the pumps were on, but when I put my credit card in, nothing happened. So I stood there for a few minutes in the dark, wondering if I was going to get robbed. And and finally, nothing. So I just left. So I got on the highway and I drove about 10 minutes. And then I got off a couple exits later and filled my tank up. Got through Atlanta, no problem. The worry was there would be a traffic jam there, but no, it was fine. It was
good.
A lot of traffic, but nobody, rarely did we ever go below 65. So that worked out well. I got through, Georgia and into Tennessee. And before I hit the Tennessee-Kentucky border, I had to stop for gas again. And poor Max, his stomach couldn't handle it. He threw up in the car, which is okay. I mean, I feel bad. I stopped and got gas and got breakfast and got him some sausage from a sausage and egg sandwich. And he ate that. He was good with that. He had a little piece of the hash brown. And then we started driving again, got all the way on the other side of Cincinnati before I had to stop again. And I'm not sure at that point who was more miserable in the car, me or him. we got out of the car at a Wendy's and we walked around, and he did not want to get back up into the car. Like I had to physically lift him up back in. Usually he jumps right in, but he did not want to get back into the car. So had another couple hours to drive and finally made it home about 6 o'clock PM and did some laundry and watched a little bit of TV and fell asleep pretty early. I know that. Tuesday, I worked through lunch and did not get a chance to write again because I had to golf at night. So finally Wednesday and Thursday, I was writing again. And that's when I really started to hit, you know, I've skipped a bunch of chapters in the middle of this thing that have to do with how they go along with book one. There's a bunch of scenes in there from book one, but they're from my other character's point of view. And I've skipped this. I've gone to the end. And over the last 4 or 5 days, I have really, really created a really nice ending where I have a lot of action from all three of my POV characters. Mm-hmm. And I'm really happy with the stuff that I did yesterday, especially really makes me happy with the way this book is. Today, I'm going to finish another chapter that I started yesterday, and that'll get me to the last 4 or 5 chapters of the book that I'm going to work on this week. And then I'll just have that soggy middle to work on. And luckily, I already know what's going on. I know how it's going to work. One of the things, I came up with this fight scene yesterday for like chapter 40 that I thought, oh, this, if I establish something during a fight scene in chapter 17, the one I hadn't written yet, it's going to work well. So now chapter 17 is plotted. I just have to write it. So, I'm in the home stretch here. I'm really happy about this. So then Friday, I was supposed to work all day Friday because I took a half a day vacation. I used my 10% reduced work schedule day for the other half of Friday, but I really wanted to have the day off. So I took a half a day vacation day, ran a bunch of errands. If you haven't gone to a BMV yet, that was quite the experience because for a good 20 minutes, we were standing outside in the line because they only let so many people in, and it was hot out. So we're just standing out there. Everybody's just sweating. But it got through in about a half an hour. It worked out okay. And I got everything done I needed to get done. So I'm not going to complain about it. It was something I had to do. I went to the Home Depot and bought some...
the Home Depot.
Oh, it's a fancy one. So yeah, I pronounce it fancy. I went to the Home Depot and bought some more stuff for my outside work that I had to finish up and did some of that yesterday. And I'm driving home and the 58 that I shot at golf is on my mind.
And, you said the score.
I did. I had to say. I feel like I had to let. I like to be honest about my numbers here. So, I literally was driving. You know where the center of the world is, right? You remember mm-hmm, that mm-hmm. when you lived here?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I was literally driving. Well, if you turn left at a spot in the center of the world, it'll take you towards this golf course that is just a piece of garbage golf course here in town. And like I talk about how when you're down the middle of the fairway, it's like playing in the middle of my backyard. It's really, really bad. But I just wanted to hit the ball. So I figured it's 2 o'clock, it's Friday, it's going to be dead. I can go play in an hour. And unfortunately, it wasn't dead. There were people in front of me who were really, really bad at golf and worse than I played on Tuesday. Like they were just bad. So at every tee, I just hit 3 balls and then I putted a bunch and chipped a bunch just practicing. And after 7 holes, I was like, yeah, I think I'm good. And I just drove my cart back to the clubhouse and left. And so I felt good about that. I got some practice in. What else did I do yesterday? Then I worked on some chapters and then, Friday, so that's Friday. So Friday about 10 a.m. Friday, I was looking at Twitter and, somebody had tweeted out that they have a fantasy football auction Friday night. It needs people. It's the company that I play the big fantasy football leagues in when I go to Vegas. And I Skyped one of the guys I work with who is a big fantasy football guy. And I just wrote, uh-oh. And he wrote back, oh no, now what? He assumed it was something work related. And I just wrote, there's a fantasy football draft tonight. It's $150. It's an auction. I need to practice. It's the middle of June. I haven't done much yet. I'm pretty sure I'm going to join this. And he's like, oh my God, you have to tell me what happens. So I came home from all that. I did some writing. I ate some dinner. And then I got into a fantasy football auction at 8 p.m. It was at 8 p.m. It went for about 2.5 hours. Throughout it, I was just texting him what I was doing. And he was texting back, well, how did this guy do? And where did this guy go? And it was pretty fun. And I'm really happy. You guys are all you fantasy football players out there who listen, and I'm going to guess there's none. I have a new strategy for my big, big money leagues. I have a $1,300 auction this year I'm going to do in Vegas in September. And I have a new strategy for it. I really like the way that it worked out. So I'm really, really excited about fantasy football starting as long as football starts. And that's a big key for this whole thing, because right now I have no fantasy baseball to play and it drives me crazy. yesterday I got a haircut and I dyed my hair. You can see how short it is on the
Yeah. Video. At first I thought you shaved it all bald, but then I saw the blonde sparkling in your sunlight. So I realized, nope, you're not bald.
Yeah. I usually buy the Garnier Nutrice 100 level, mm-hmm. which is the most blonde that exists, and they didn't have any 100. They only had a 90. So I'm hoping that it still looks okay. Cause that's a really, really big difference there. And, I had a plan yesterday to also start doing a little bit of plotter, but I didn't. I started doing it this morning. I don't know what I'm going to do with that yet. I have, I really like the story grid way that I do it with the Excel spreadsheet. And I like that I can get it anywhere. I have like 35 columns in it. If I can figure out a way to work that stuff into plotter, I really love the timeline piece of plotter, mm-hmm. the image you sent me with your whole book. I really like the way that looked. So this morning I created three different timelines, it's not really a timeline. It's a line where each spot represents a chapter. But I really like the way it's laid out. I created one for my main character. Then I created another one for her hero's journey. So I keep track of that. Another one for my secondary character and another one for her hero's journey. Another one for my third character. He's the villain. I don't have a hero's journey for him. And then I have one called foreshadowing. So I can keep track of what chapters those things happen in. And then I'll probably create a couple more, and we're going to put book two in there and see how it goes. And if it goes well, I'll try to put book one and the novella in there, so that you can look at the entire series, which I know is something that you're excited to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, that was yesterday. And then today, you know, I worked on the plotter this morning. We did the podcast. We're doing the podcast twice or one and a half times. I'm going to work on a chapter this afternoon. I have to, because it's Father's Day, I'm going to go over to the mom and dad's house. And I have to buy the dad a 12-pack of beer because that's what I buy. My dad loves drinking the Pass Blue Ribbon. I remember back when I worked at a Ruby Tuesday. I remember he walked in there to the bar and he asked for PBR and they didn't have it. And he was disappointed. And then our grandmother who drinks Blatz.
Yeah.
Or at least she did. I don't know if she still does.
I don't know if she drinks anymore.
Yeah, I don't know if she does. She's what, 91 or something?
Yeah, 90 something.
She went into Ruby Tuesday that's around that same time and asked for a Blatz and they kind of laughed at her, which was kind of funny actually. Anyway, so I'm gonna go over there for a little while and hang out with them, and then when I come back this afternoon I really have some mulch I have to move still from a few weeks ago, and I just don't want to do that. One last thing before we get to you, because I've been talking so much. We're not to the addicted to yet, right?
No.
Oh, I'll deal with that later. Okay, so yeah, okay, so how was your week?
I didn't keep track of what I did every day. It was easier when I was kind of working on chapters, but now that I'm doing this, that, and the other thing, I just don't keep track of what I do every day. I can tell you every day we had dinner at Anna's and we watched an 80s movie or two. We actually halted the 80s movies 2 days ago and now we're watching all of the Supermans. We watched the first one.
You're talking like 1970s Christopher Reeve, right?
Yeah. We watched the first one Friday and then last night we watched 2 and 3. 2 was stupid. I didn't like it at all. But 3 was good. I taught between 1 and 4 classes each morning. I finished all of Mom's edits of the prequel. I printed a copy of the novel and read it out loud. I did 5 chapters a day for 6 days. And I just made notes on the paper. And then last night while the movies were on, I made those revisions. So that's kind of like, you know, I finished all of Mom's revisions of the novel. That was draft 7. And then I finished my revisions from my read through. That was kind of draft 8. I also purchased plotter. We talked about this. I put the prequel and book 1 into plotter and I absolutely love it. That was basically my week. I mean, I don't really have a lot to say about it. I've just been moving right along. My running list of future things to do. I still want to make a Google form for the street team. I just haven't got there yet. I also want to start plotting book 2, which I'm probably going to start tomorrow. And I need to figure out how to make more sales. I've only made 1 sale in the last like 4 days. So I need to figure that out. But that's about it.
So for me, you know, I've played around with my automation sequence. It was on this list for a while. I kind of updated it to, I need to create a Facebook ad landing page because I want to see how many people come from Facebook versus how many come from the book promos versus how many come from the back of my books. And right now I have 2 lists. I want a third one. So I'm going to do that and I'll create an automation sequence for it. That'll be very similar. I have that. And then I have the stuff that I've talked about a few times. Ad landing page and an ad landing page and a web page for the people who have finished book one. I have an idea for book one where what I want to do, I think I talked about this before. I'm a web developer in my life. You know, I that's what I do for a living. You know, I have to go back to work tomorrow in my office. And I want to create this page where it has all of the books like with check boxes. So right now it would have book one and book two, book one and novella one. And there would be a checkbox where if the user checked it, the things would come up on the screen that would have to do with the characters that are in book one only. If they check the novella, then they'll see, like, Peter is in both of those books. He's my main character. He's in both of those books. So if you put a check mark in the box for book one, it would show just the stuff that happened to Peter for book one. If you put a check mark in both of them, it would show the stuff that happened in book one and the origins book one novella. If you put a check mark in just the box for the origins novella book one, you would just see that stuff. And I would love to be able to create something like that for every book in the series, because I have multiple entry points. I'm going to have novellas that you can start with. You know, I'm going to have all these different things that you can start on. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to make it so the user can come to that page and put check marks in whatever they've read. And that's a way for them to see what's happened to the characters that were in those books without giving any spoilers to the other books. So that's something I'm going to look into. I know what programming language I was used to do it. And I've done things like that in my professional life where I've got a checkbox that shows things on the screen. If you uncheck it, it takes things away. I could write it. I know I could code it pretty easy. The issue I have is because this is a WordPress thing and it's a specific page that is more programming than WordPress thing. I'm not sure how to create one. I'm pretty sure I could probably go in and create a page that has the shell around it. It has the shell that Caro created, kind of like a master page if you're a computer programmer out there. Or if you're an MVC programmer, it would be the layout page. I'm just not sure how to do it. I haven't investigated it. I probably could figure it out pretty quick. I want to use a programming language called Angular and JavaScript, and I think I can write that pretty fast. So when it comes to the page for the people who finished book one, I'll create a simple one first, but I'm going to look into the rest of that because I think that's really interesting. I like being a computer programmer, and I like doing it professionally. But when it came to building my website, it was a struggle. So we'll see how that goes. Let's see. I also have the newsletter swap. Again, I'm going to do this. I think I told you last week that I had fears about doing a newsletter swap because that whole initial connection with the person worries me a little bit. But you keep telling me that I have to be an introvert. So I'm going to have to. That's going to be another piece of the extrovert, not introvert.
Extrovert.
That's going to be the next piece of the Jerry extrovert that you're creating, this monster that you and a couple other people are creating by forcing me to do stuff.
Well, on the bright side, this extrovert activity won't give you the Rona.
That's true. I guess that's true.
It's all virtual.
So. It's all virtual, which is good. So, yeah. I don't really care. I'm past the Rona right now. I'm just living my life as normal. So I'll probably end up with it at some point. I also have Patreon and the autographed paperbacks, which is way, way down the road. I'm not worried about that right now. So let's jump into my addicted to, so I mentioned last week that my addicted to was the golf simulator. And I got to say that it is still the golf simulator. In fact, last night I bought a 10 foot by 10 foot by 10 foot netting section that basically you can buy for, like, if you want to hit baseballs in your backyard, or you want to hit, if you want to practice soccer, lacrosse, all these different things where you're aiming at a target, but it's also made for golf. It's a really strong net and it's for golf. I also bought the actual piece of hardware that you use. You swing your club across and it gives you all the information about your swing. I also bought another piece of hardware that goes along with that. I was gonna buy a projector and a cart to hold a laptop in the projector yesterday also. But those items are on Amazon Prime. They were gonna show up at my house next week, and the other items are all like 4 to 6 weeks. I'm not gonna be home next week because I'm gonna be working, so I don't want them to show up next week. So I'll probably order those in the following week when I'm back working at home. And there are a couple other items that I have to buy. I have to find a projector screen, something I can hit into. hit hard. And I want to buy like a piece of artificial turf that I can stand on that feels like I'm standing in a fairway. Although with the way that I've been golfing lately, it'd probably be smarter to make it feel like I'm standing in the rough or in the sand. But I'm going to buy that. So that is something over the next 6 to 8 weeks I hope to put together. I have this perfect spot past my driveway. I have a cement slab that used to have this 2.5 room. Is it called a mother-in-law house? Is that a thing? I've heard people say that before.
It was like a little apartment. I wouldn't call it a mother-in-law suite because did it have a bathroom in it?
Yeah, it did, but it was in bad shape. That's why I tore it down. But there's still the cement slab back there. That is, it's perfect size. Everything's it's away from the road. I'm aiming. You know, there's houses all around me, but there's this big open field near the water tower, and I'm aiming at that. So if a ball were to somehow escape the net, which it wouldn't, I'm gonna hit it a screen. There's a net all around it. I mean, it's pretty stable in terms of hitting a ball and not hitting the ball outside of it. I hope I don't annoy my neighbors with the constant, you know, I won't be doing it at night or, you know, in the middle of the night or too early.
Yeah.
Or too late. So I'm trying to find stuff that's weatherproof. So if it's 35 degrees outside and there's no snow, I can go out and hit a golf ball 100 times if I want to. So that's something over the next 6 to 8 weeks I will be building, and that will cut into my debt repayment plan a little bit. That's okay. I'm not worried about that. I'm down to just one item. I'm really fired up about being down to just a credit card. So,
yeah.
So that's my addicted to. How about you?
Ice cream.
Yeah.
Every single night at Anna's, I eat ice cream. We watch one movie, and then before the second movie starts, I eat ice cream. I eat a lot of ice cream.
Right. And I can concur with that, because while I was there, you kept shoving ice cream in my face too. And I appreciated that. So.
Oh yeah. I really had to shove it in your face.
You really had to twist my arm.
I basically just said, I'm getting ice cream. That was all.
And then I was like, I look over with like a, please get me ice cream too.
Yeah. And it was the puppy dog eyes. Yes.
Except for the one day where I volunteered to get your ice cream.
And then you didn't.
And then I asked your husband to get it for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the way that I delegate, you know, I'm a delegator.
Yeah, sure.
I did get my own during that time though. I did manage.
I know you got your own, but you didn't get me any.
Yeah. Well, I asked Jeremy to do it. So, yeah. So,
that's the only thing I'm addicted to right now is ice cream. This week, let's see here. Monday, I have one class. I'm going to start plotting book two. Tuesday is the second pre-order drawing. I have three classes. Again, work on plotting book two. That's basically where I'm going to be a lot now. Wednesday, I teach 5 classes. Thursday, 4 classes. I want to get chapters 26 through 30 ready for the betas and create the Google form. That'll be the last one for them. Friday, I have 1 class, and I want to work on the prequel revisions from my 2 beta friends because they're supposed to have those to me by Thursday, so I'll work on those on Friday. Saturday we have the Zoom call with those same friends, and I'll work on revisions. Sunday, podcast laundry and send the prequel to the editor. So other than really plotting book two, I don't really have a whole lot going on.
You teach 5 classes Wednesday. What time are those classes?
Wednesday. So each class is only 25 minutes long. So let's see here. Wednesday, I have a 4 o'clock, a 5 o'clock, 5:30, 6 and 6:30.
These are all in the morning. These are in the evening. Yeah.
Right. Wow. Yeah.
And it was funny because one of the days that I was down there, you know, every day I would go sit in your office at the desk that you're sitting at right now. And then you would sit in the big chair beside me, and we would basically, I would work on my real job, or on the weekends work on my book. And then you would just sit there and work on your book stuff, and we'd chatter and I think you would put the office on, but we would mute it. And then I forced you to watch golf Thursday, Friday.
Well, I didn't. I just worked on my book. Well, I pretended like the TV was off.
Okay. So I was watching golf. But there was the one day where after the class that you taught, I went down there to start working on it. It's Wednesday or Thursday. And then I look over and you're just laying over. You're just kind of leaned over sleeping.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh man, I want to listen to a podcast, or I want to turn the TV on, but she's sleeping. So I just let it go.
And, oh, you could have.
It's
fine.
It's a weird, it's quite the schedule you have, where you get up early, you teach, and then you take a little nap, and then you have the rest of the day to work on your book. I wish I had that.
Yeah, if my classes end at like 6 or 6:30, I'll usually just lay down in the chair. Sometimes I fall asleep, I don't always. But if my class, if I have a class from like 5 to 5:30 or between 4 and 5:30 or whatever, I'll just go back to bed, which I did that a couple of days too. So
my schedule is different this week than what it's been lately. Like I said earlier, I have to go back into the office starting tomorrow. There are three of us that are web developers, and we are rotating now 1 week at a time. So last week was John, this week is me, last week was Jeff, this week is me, next week is John. Apparently you have to have your name start with a J if you're going to be
a web John, Jerry, and Jeff.
Yeah, we're hiring, I think we're hiring a new guy named Aaron. We're trying to change his name to something else. He doesn't know yet.
Jaron,
yeah, probably go with that. So that means I'm getting up at 5 a.m. again. I haven't gotten up at 5 a.m. on a pretty regular basis since the beginning of March. I don't know how this is going to go. I'm going to have to go to bed a little bit earlier than what I have been. Monday I get up at 5. I start work at 7. I will write at lunch. So I'll still have the hour and a half lunch, and I probably won't leave the building. I'll take something with me. I went to the grocery store yesterday or Friday and bought a bunch of stuff I can take with me to lunch. I'm going to make taco salad tonight and take that tomorrow.
Nice.
And I was talking to you earlier about maybe making that hash brown casserole recipe you gave me that had really, really good, that had a really good heat up value. You know, the next day you heat it up and it tastes just as good. So that's something I could make tomorrow. I could make it tonight, or I could make it, well, I'm making taco salad, but I could make it maybe Wednesday afternoon, evening, and then take it to work Thursday. You know, that would work well. So Tuesday I have lunch plans and then I golf. So there's not gonna be any writing on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday I'll write back at lunch, just like Monday. There is no yoga, although I thought about emailing our yoga teacher Kathy to see if she could just come in and do yoga with me on Thursday, but she's probably not allowed in the building, so we're probably still no visitors.
There's a
thermometer station when you walk in the door, and what they want you to do is they want you to take your temperature, but if you do it at home you don't have to do it at work. I don't have any kind of a home thermometer system. I probably will take my temperature just because I'm curious. My only question is, like, what if you were to go outside at lunch and run? So a lot of people do that. They run in the summer. You come in, you're super hot, and you take your temperature. I wonder if you can I wait a half an hour before taking it again just to make sure? Because what if it comes
back? Are you going to go out and run on your lunch break?
You're lucky if I'm going to walk.
You don't have to worry about that.
No, but I'm just curious for other people what they do. So none of it's mandatory. They just, I mean, obviously they want you to keep an eye on your health, which makes sense. I mean, we don't have to wear a face mask at work if you're in your cubicle, but if you're walking around the building in the public areas, they want you to, which I will, that's no big deal. The only issue is my face mask will fog up my glasses. So, so I'll probably not wear my glasses. Like if I have to go, when I go to heat up my lunch or for the bathroom or whatever. So, let's see, Friday, we're still on the reduced work schedule. Then we have to go back. So I'm done at 11 on Friday. I'm 7 to 11 like normal. So I'll probably come home. You know, in the past when I worked 7 to 11, I would have stopped at like Moe's, or I would have stopped. There's a, what's that place you love? Rockne's, right?
Yeah.
There's a Rockne's in Streetsboro that has like this bar area where I could sit at a table for a couple hours and write, which I've done a few times. But because I don't know how happy they would be if I went and sat inside for 3 hours, maybe I might go to Moe's and just see. There's a Moe's really close to work, and just see if I can sit inside for a few hours if they care. Otherwise, I'll just bring it home. And then I'll write. I'll come home and write. And then Saturday, same thing. I'll write. Chick-fil-A still isn't open in the morning. I asked again when I went yesterday morning. They're still not open to dine in. So I'll probably go to Chick-fil-A in the morning and get my drive-through like I usually do. And if I have errands to run, I'll run them. And then I'll come home and write. And then Sunday we're going to podcast and I'm going to write and whatever else is going on. The hope though, I have, my Scrivener closed because my computer crashed earlier. I have, I think 6 chapters left at the end of the book, right? I think 6 at the end of the book. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping, let's see, I have it open now. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. I have 7. I have 8 chapters left at the end of the book. They're all written. Everything's written. A couple of them just need some editing. 4 of them are written and probably pretty close to being done. I'm going to do everything I can to get those 8 chapters done by next weekend and get it down to where all I have left is the stuff that happened in book 1, the overlap between book 1 and book 2. Those shouldn't be that complicated to write. There's some.
I think that'd be fun to write.
Yeah, the ones I've written so far have been fun because I can change. So I know in book 1 what happens to the character. And now I can give it from another point of view, and I can make what happened with book 1 from a character's point of view be like not completely what's happening from the other character's point of view.
Yeah.
And I think it's cool when somebody reads both of those, I think it could be really fun to read. So
yeah.
That's my plan for this week in terms of getting that stuff finished. Going back to work is going to be weird, but it'll be like, I have a couple meetings. It'll be like no other week. I'll just be in my cubicle instead of my home. So
it's like riding a bike.
I don't like to ride a bike. It's makes me sweaty. I think I might actually take Max for a walk when we're done here, which is also different for me.
I know you said that earlier. I almost fell out of my chair.
Oh, I think I have an Amazon package being delivered right now. So if you hear Max barking, that's what's going on. Anyway, okay. So that is the end of the podcast. Do you have anything else?
No, huh?
That's weird. There's a Hertz truck sitting outside my, I'm going to assume that they're Amazon Prime truck. I don't know, but it says Hertz on the side, like the rent-a-car. Didn't they go out of business? I think Hertz, one of the rent-a-car places went out of business. I think it was Hertz. Maybe Amazon bought all their vans. Anyway, all right. So if you want to get a hold of me, this is a really long podcast because we went long anyway, and we recorded for a half an hour earlier that got deleted. So we went for a long time. I bet it's an hour and a half today without seeing anything yet. So if you have any questions or comments, my website is jerryevanoff.com. Jerry@jerryevanoff.com is my email, and now he's barking. Find me on Twitter, JerryE25, where you can just search my name. On Facebook, Jerry Evanoff Author. You can follow or like or both. I still don't know what the difference is. And then the other stuff I do, Snapchat, Instagram, you can find that in the show notes.
You can find me at lindsayevanoff.com. You can email me at lindsay@lindsayevanoff.com. I'm on Facebook, facebook.com/lindsayevanoffauthor, Instagram @lindsayevanoffauthor, and Twitter, evanofflindsay. If you like our podcast, give us a review on the podcast page, and until next week.
Happy Father's Day, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the New Author Podcast. Check back next week for another episode. And for more information, find Jerry at www.jerryevanoff.com and Lindsay at www.lindsayevanoff.com.